And I'm thankful for being able to be here this morning. If you've got a copy of the Word of God, I invite you to turn with us in the Old Testament, Psalm number 119. Psalm number 119. And as I was looking, we have about five more messages, including today, within this 119th Psalm. We began a series of sermons some time back on the thought of letters for living. And we see that this acrostic in the 119th Psalm, as the psalmist took at the beginning letter of each one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and wrote a stanza within this psalm to enable the readers that they might receive something from the Lord to help them live in life. And I believe that's why we come to God's house, amen, is that we might receive something that will help us through the next few days of our life, weeks, months, and years, give us strength for the journey. I get weak along the way, but I'm glad that we can find strength from Jesus. If you found your place, Psalm number 119, we're going to begin reading in verse number 137 this morning. I want to preach to you on this thought, trusting in truth. Let's stand this morning. Everyone in the house that's able and willing, everybody standing in honor and reverence for the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Trusting in truth. The psalmist says, Psalm 119, verse 137, he says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." You may be seated this morning. We find this 137th verse in the 119th Psalm begins a new stanza. And as we look there, the letter here is the word tsedi, tsedi. And we see that that begins with our English letter T. And we find that in the Hebrew, all of these verses begin in that like manner. And we find that there is something about that letter T. I said I want to preach to you this morning on the thought of trusting in truth. My friend, we live in a day and time in which truth is scarcely around. We live in a day and time in which the devil is waiting to deceive the minds of our young people. Live in a day and time in which that he's wanting to devise some type of falsehood, some type of wickedness, some type of something to get us off of what God's will might be for our life, and to live for ourselves, and to live for the flesh, and to live for the devil. We find that within the Word of God this morning, I believe that there are some truths here that we can cling to this morning. And if we'll look unto them by faith, if we'll look unto them believing and knowing within the confidence of our heart, and believing and trusting in the Word of God, I believe we can make it. Amen. I tell you, I don't want to see people falter. I don't want to see people fail in life. I want to see them succeed. I want to see you succeed. And you say, "Preacher, are you talking about monetary means?" No. I'll tell you what, if you'll live for God, He'll meet your needs. Amen. But I tell you, I want you to succeed today in the most important thing that is here concerning us this morning, and that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship with a holy God. I believe the psalmist here begins in verse number 137 and 138 with this thought, that if we're going to trust in the truth, there needs to be a realization of the righteousness of His person. The righteousness of His person. Look what the Bible says. He says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord." And that word "Lord" is capitalized. All four letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. My friend, I'm here to tell you today that He is Lord. That word "Lord" in the Hebrew is the word Jehovah. It's the word that means the existing one. I want to remind you this morning that there is only one true and living God. Oh, man has made many gods. Man has made many molten images. Hey, they've worshipped the sun and the stars and the moon. They've worshipped the creature that is here upon the earth in many different shapes and many different forms. They've worshiped the stars up above in the galaxies. My friend, we've seen that man has made many gods. But I want to remind you today that there's only one true and one living God. He's Jehovah Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We find that He is righteous. The Bible says, "Righteous art Thou, O Lord." That word righteous speaks of the fact that He is just. It speaks of the fact that He is lawful. It speaks of the fact that He is right in His cause. My friend, what is His cause? His cause is that every creature on the earth, on the face of the earth, whether above or whether below, hey, one day the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. My friend, we need to recognize that He is righteous. Hey, the righteous speaks of the fact not only that He is just and that He is lawful and that He is right in His cause, but it also means that He is righteous in His conduct and in His character. I want to remind you this morning that whenever we come to God's house, we need to realize that we're coming into the house of Jehovah. We're coming into the house of the true and righteous God. We're coming into the house of the existing One. Amen? And we need to recognize His holiness. I'm reminded of what Isaiah wrote over in the 6th chapter of that wonderful prophecy book. For the Bible says there that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. I'll tell you what, God took up the whole house. Amen. God took up the whole place. I want to tell you this morning that our God is bigger than what we can conceive. Our God is bigger than what we can recognize. Our God is bigger than a lot of times what we realize. Hey, God's a lot bigger than what you respect in many days and many ways of your life. Hey, I'll tell you what, He's a big God. The Bible says, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one of those seraphim, the Bible says, cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." The Bible says, "And the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." I believe it's describing the Shekinah glory of the Most High God. I believe it's describing His presence. I believe it's describing His person. I believe it's describing His power here today. Now, friend, I'll tell you what, God is a holy God. Amen? Hey, we need to realize, we need to trust in the truth of His righteousness that is within His person this morning. Just as Brother Ralph Sexton Sr. once said, hey, if God had never hung the stars in the sky, if God had never allowed the sun to shine, if He had never allowed the moon to glow, if He had never created one single thing, hey, if God had never created man in His image, my friend, He'd still be holy, holy, holy. My friend, we need to recognize that. We need to respect that. We need to come unto God realizing that He is holy. My friend, He's not playing games. Amen. God is not a God that's here. I just play tiddlywinks. God is not a God that's not concerned about who you are. Is not concerned about your salvation. And I tell you what, God wants you to come unto Him with reverence and with awe. He wants you to look unto Him and respecting His righteousness. Hey, the psalmist spoke the first truth that we need to come to. Hey, if you're ever going to get saved, if you're ever going to get born again, if you're ever going to get your life in the right manner with a holy God, you've got to respect His person and you've got to realize that He is holy. Hey, the Bible says there, "Righteous art Thou, O Lord." And He says there, "And upright are Thy judgments." The judgment of a holy God is always going to be correct. That judgment means His act of deciding. It speaks of His act of sentencing. It speaks of His act of execution. I'll tell you what, God is always just. God is always right in His judgment. That word upright means straight. There ain't no crookedness about God. Amen. Well, hey, we got crooked politicians. We've got crooked law enforcement. We've got people that are crooked in the things that they do and in the way that they conduct themselves. Hey, we've got people that are crooked in the way that they do business. We've got people that are crooked in the way that they do things. But I want to tell you what, God is always just in His dealings. He's always upright in His judgments. That word upright means He's always correct. Means He's always right. It means He's level. Amen? You've heard the old timers say, well, that fellow must be pretty level-headed because the spit runs out both sides of his mouth. Amen. That's the way my granddad people looked at him and said he's level-headed. It's coming out both sides of his mouth. And I'll tell you what, God is a God. And I'm not saying that God's a God that condones the use of tobacco this morning. But I'm just saying that God is a God. Somebody's going to use that to their advantage later on. God is a God that is level. Amen. Hey, and He's always pleasing. Amen? I'll tell you what, God's always satisfied me whenever I've respected His righteousness. God's always honored me whenever I've respected His person. Whenever I come in His presence and I acknowledge Him as being Lord, I acknowledge Him as being God, I acknowledge Him as being Creator, I acknowledge Him as being the Sovereign One that holds it all together, I acknowledge Him as being my Savior, I acknowledge Him as being Lord. My friend, He'll always help us. He'll always make it to where we are pleased with whom that He is. Amen. I was thinking about the fact that He is always upright in His judgments. The Bible says over in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 11, He says, "My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." Sometimes God has to cast judgment upon His children. Amen. Sometimes God has to cast judgment upon His people. My friend, if we as the United States America are a nation that's grounded and rooted upon the fundamentals that we find within this precious Bible that we hold in our hand and we lay in our lap this morning. Hey, if we are truly one nation under God, my friend, I'm going to tell you what, God is not going to let us go too far without chastisement and without judgment. My friend, the Bible says there in Proverbs, He says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Amen. Hey, I love my youngins, but I'm going to strive to make them behave. Amen. Whether it's here, Lawson or Zadie, they're going to get the chastising rod. Why is that, preacher? Because I got the chastising rod. And you know what? It proved to be true. It proved to be faithful. Our God is the same way. Our God will allow us to go so far. But when we reach that breaking point, He's going to get a hold upon us. Hey, He's always upright in His judgment. Why? Because of the righteousness of His person. Amen. Hey, He's holy, holy, holy. Bible tells us there in verse number 138, He says, "Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." That testimony speaks of His witness. God, what is the Bible trying to tell me this morning, preacher? God's just trying to let you know that He loves you. He's trying to let you know that you are a sinner separated from Him without the blood of Jesus being applied to your life. And my friend, if you'll come unto Him and you'll confess unto Him your sins and you'll believe in His death, burial, and resurrection and the fact that He's coming again, my friend, and you'll trust Him and accept in His grace through faith, you shall be saved. That's the message that God is trying to convey to you today. His righteousness, the righteousness in His person. He says, "Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous." They're righteous. It's what that is just, what that is normal, what that is right. It's talking about the justness of weights and measures. Now, if you go down here to Ingles, and you go down here, you buy yourself a big old chuck roast, buy yourself a big old bottom round, and that thing says that it weighs 3.7 pounds. And you pay for that 3.7 pound chuck roast. And you get it to the house, you lay on your own scales, and it says 2.4. You're going to march right back there into Ingles. You're going to say, "Hey, this ain't what I was supposed to have got. You've shorthanded me. Let me put it a little bit closer to you." Now, you folks that dig ginseng, you want to make sure you get your money's worth, amen? Hey, that's a lot of cash right there. So what I'm trying to say is that God is always, He always does what's right. He always does what's true. It says that He is righteous in His commandments. You realize that God has laid charge upon us. God has commanded unto us some things. He's commissioned us to do some things. He's appointed us to do some things. He's commanded us to honor His Word and to honor His Son and respect the church and to live for Him, my friend. And when we fall short of that, we find ourselves standing in the judgment of a holy God. And I'll tell you what, He'll prove Himself right. He'll prove Himself true. He'll always prove Himself just. He'll bring out the measure of the Word of God. He'll line us up according to this precious book. And my friend, where we fall short, we see that He will rightfully out-act judgment upon us. So we find here the Bible tells us, teaches us, in the righteousness of His person. He says, "Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Well, I'm glad God's faithful. Amen. Hey, whenever the world lets me down, I can call upon God. When the world undershorts me, I can call upon God. When those people that I thought were my good friends proved not to be too faithful unto me, I can go into a God that's always going to be faithful. He's always going to be steady. He's always going to be steadfast. Hey, there ain't no shaky ground with God. My friend, He's always there. And He's sure to be there for those that call upon His name. We see the righteousness of His person. We also see the remedy for His people. You say, "Well, preacher, how am I to line myself up with a God that is holy? How am I to line myself up and live under a God that is so just and so level and so pure? How do I do that?" Hey, there's a remedy for His people. The Bible says there, "My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten Thy words." Hey, I'll tell you what, we live in a nation that has turned its back upon God. We live in a state that's turned its back upon God. We live, you say, it amazes me how a lot of politicians always end and they'll say, "God bless." But I'll tell you what, I don't believe they'd know God if they got hemmed up with Him in a broom closet. I believe that we need to realize that we serve a God that's holy, and the only way that we can get right with Him is to recognize that. Hey, there's a remedy for His people. Hey, there ain't a remedy for a lost and condemned world unless they trust in Jesus and acknowledge Him. The Bible says there, "My zeal hath consumed me." That zeal speaks of a religious zeal. Hey, I'll tell you what, the more we live in a lost and dying world, and the more we read about a God of love and a God of justice and a God of salvation, and the more we fall in love with Him, the greater our zeal ought to be. It ought to consume us, just as the psalmist says. He says, "My zeal hath consumed me." Why? "Because mine enemies have forgotten Thy words." Hey, we live in a country that's forgotten the utterance and the saying and the Scripture of a holy God. Hey, they've forgotten about it. They have just, and that word "forgotten" literally means to cease to care. There's a lot of people, they have ceased to care about their country. They have ceased to care about their children. They have ceased to care about their parents. They have ceased to care about what's right and what's just and what is normal in the eyes of a holy God. They've ceased to care. That word "forgotten" means also to ignore. Hey, there's a lot of times we just say, "Well, I'll just ignore it. I'll just forget about it. It'll go away." But my friend, I'll tell you what, there is a remedy for those that have zeal. There's a remedy for this country that we live in. If God's people would just get a good dose of a longing and a wanting to serve a holy God. That word "zeal" speaks of a religious zeal. It speaks of the zeal of men for God. It speaks of the zeal of men for the house of God. It speaks of a zeal for those that are saved by the glorious grace of a holy God, that we just want to serve Him more. Just want to live for Him more. Just want to do something else for our Jesus. The psalmist says there, hey, there is a remedy. We just need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen. Hey, the church at Laodicea, or the church at Philadelphia, I believe it was, in the book of Revelation, had lost its first love. They had forgotten the fact that they were sinners separated from God, forgotten the fact that they were isolated and all alone in their sin, but that Jesus had come unto them and showed them, first of all, that He loved them. Now, friend, we need to go back to the day we got saved. And then Brother Andy took us back to right here 9 years ago today. Is that right?
in which he got gloriously born again. Hey, it does us a world of good. It does a heart a whole lot of good if we'll go back and realize who we used to be and where we used to go and who we used to run with. But it's different now, amen? And my friend, the zeal of the Lord will consume you and overwhelm you, and the greatest remedy for a downtrodden soul is to go to the place in which they got saved, to go to the cross of Calvary and receive a good dose of Holy Ghost anointing and unction that God can use us and do a great work through us. My friend, we need to just trust in God more. The Bible tells us here, he says there in verse number 140, he says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." The word of God, the utterance, the speech of a holy God is very pure. That's talking about a refiner's fire. It's talking about the smelting process of one that harvested ore out of gold or ore out of silver. It's talking about that which has been tested and proven. My friend, I'll tell you what, you can test God all you want, and He'll always prove Himself true. You can say, "God, I don't believe You're going to supply my need," and my friend, God will prove Himself true. Now, we ought not tempt God. Amen? But my friend, we need to believe with confidence, knowing that God is faithful. My friend, the Bible tells us here, He says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." My friend, if you were once a slave to sin, but my friend, God redeemed you and purchased you off the slave block of sin, my friend, you've been born again, you've been set free, my friend, you ought to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. But we very seldom do that. But I'll tell you what, there's a remedy for God's people. We can trust in the truth of His Word. And my friend, He will always prove Himself faithful. We just need to have an appetite for God. Amen. That's what that word right there means, loveth. It means to have an appetite for God. So we see here, trusting in truth, there's the righteousness of His person. There's the remedy for His people. There's the result of His precepts. Look what the Bible says. Verse 141 says, "I am small and despised." Verse number 143 says, "Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me." Let me ask you this morning, do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel as if you are small and despised? Now, I know we got a lot of big men, they've never really suffered from a high malnutrition, I guess I could say. Some of you fellas are pretty good sized men. We tried to teach Vicente what a scutter was down yonder, wasn't it, Brother Kevin? And some people ain't never felt that way. But I'll tell you what, in the eyes of God, we all ought to feel small. Amen? But I'll tell you what, sometimes the world will make us feel small. The Bible says there in verse number 141, He says, "I am small and despised." That word small means little or insignificant. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you didn't amount to much? The world and those that surround you, your workplace, make you feel belittled. They make you feel like nothing because you're a born-again believer in Christ and you're in the minority. So therefore, they make you feel small and little and insignificant. Hey, they also make you feel despised. That word despised means to be vile or to be worthless. I think sometimes this old world makes us feel like we're nothing. Like we're nobody because we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, sometimes we feel trouble and anguish. Hey, that word trouble speaks of a narrow place. It speaks of a tight place. It speaks of a time when we're in dire straits. Have you ever been to a place where you felt like you didn't have no friends, didn't have nothing in common with nobody? You felt like everybody was putting you down. Everybody was ridiculing you. Hey, my friend, that's the trouble in which that the psalmist is speaking of. He had been there. And that trouble and anguish speak of a time or a state of stress. It speaks of the distress of a person that's walking through this old wicked world. My friend, we sometimes can feel that way. But I'm here to tell you what, there are some results of His precepts that can help those that feel small and despised, to help those that feel like they are in trouble and anguish. It says their trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. To take hold means to find, to encounter, to come upon them. My friend, we sometimes feel like that everybody in the world is against us. My friend, we need not lose hope. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, there's some results that can be found in the Word of God. The Bible says, here I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. My friend, what I'm trying to tell you is no matter how far the world pushes you down, no matter how much your peers make you feel like an outcast, no matter how much you feel like you don't fit in this world, just keep trusting in the Word of God. Keep leaning on Jesus. Keep believing on Him. Hey, He says, thy precepts have I not forgotten. Yet do I not forget thy precepts. That those precepts speak of the statutes of a holy God. Everything that's prescribed unto us, everything that's due unto Him, we find within the Word of God. So whenever the world comes beating at your door, when the flesh tells you you're nothing, when the devil tells you you're a defeated individual, my friend, just call upon Jesus. Just trust in His Word. Get in the book. Call upon Him and ask Him to give you the strength for the journey. Hey, the result of His precepts. Look in verse 143. He says, yet thy commandments are my delights. The commandments of a holy God, the code of wisdom that's found within this precious book brings delight to a weary soul. My friend, He can help you up. Amen. He can help you hold your head up high. He can enable you to be somebody in the kingdom of God if you'll call upon Him. That delight speaks of enjoyment. It speaks of the object of delight. My friend, God can help us if we'll just look unto Him. Get in the book. So we see trusting in truth. There's the element of the righteousness of His person, the remedy for His people, the result of His precepts, but there's also the reward of His passion. My friend, Jesus Christ died and suffered for you and I. He gave of His life's blood that we might be able to receive the reward of eternal life. Look what the Bible says in verse 142. He says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. My friend, I'm not here today to fill you full of fables. I'm not here today to give you some vile hope. What I'm here today is to give you the truth. My friend, it amazes me all the controversy you saw over the textbooks that's going to be used in the state of Texas, which somehow sets a precedence or a standard for the rest of the country because the state of Texas buys so many textbooks, and how that they were just grabbing a glimpse of truth here and a glimpse of truth there and not giving the students a full perspective. Hey, I'll tell you what, if you look unto the world, you'll be led astray, but if you look unto a holy God, you shall receive the truth. You shall receive the unadulterated truth from a holy God. And it's found in this precious Bible that we hold in our hand. And I'll tell you what, there is a reward of His passion. The Bible says there, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. That righteousness in verse 142 speaks of God's attribute. His attribute of truthfulness. It also speaks of His gift unto you and I. It speaks of His salvation. It speaks of the justification of a fallen man. That God can enable you to stand in His presence just as if you've never faltered, just as if you've never sinned, just as if you were never born a sinner. And because you've been born again, you've been trusting in the gift of salvation, you acknowledge Jesus, that He died for you and shed of His life's blood, and that He was buried and rose again that third day. And you believe that He's coming back to call His children home. My friend, Jesus can deliver you. And I'm glad it's just not momentary, aren't you? I'm glad it just don't last a little while and then it's gone away. Hey, there's some folks get a dose of religion and that's all it is. And they get on fire for a few short months. They get on fire maybe for a year or two. Hey, they think that they're serving a true God. Not for them, but they're deceived because they never truly got born again. Hey, I'll tell you what, a salvation that does not last, I doubt, was a genuine salvation. Because I'll tell you what, God's salvation is an everlasting salvation. It's not just that He'll save the soul eternally forevermore, but I believe that it will cause a person to want to live for Jesus all of their natural born days. I believe that there's a fervency within the heart of a believer that acknowledges that Jesus, not only their Savior, but He's their Lord, and therefore I'm going to honor and respect His holiness. And I'm going to live for Him every day, every step of the way. My friend, I'm going to serve Him. But I believe that it's an everlasting righteousness. Hey, there's a reward for His passion. The Bible says right there that it is everlasting. It's forever. It's always. It will continuously exist, my friend, for those that place their faith and trust in the truth. That truth speaks of that which is firm, faithful, sure, and reliable. Hey, I'll tell you what, this book right here is reliable. Amen? It's the Word of God. And so we find here that there's the reward of His passion. Look in verse 144. He says, "The righteousness of Thy testimonies is everlasting. Thy righteousness of the witness of a holy God is everlasting." Hey, this book right here is going to stand the test of fire. Amen. Hey, whenever this world is consumed and everything is burned up, hey, I'll tell you what, the Word of God will still be there. I believe it'll be there on the day of judgment at the great white throne. I believe that the Bible will be brought forth, and for those that are lost and separated from God, the truth of God's Word will be there to judge them and to allow them to realize that they had an opportunity to call upon Jesus, but they never did. Hey, my concern here this morning, most of all, above and beyond anything else, is that if you're here today and you feel in the depths of your heart that you've never truly trusted in Jesus, today's your day to trust in the truth. Today's your day to believe in Christ. Today's your day to get born again. My friend, there's no other greater decision that will ever be made on this side of eternity. There's no other greater decision than you can make today. Hey, God's not concerned about what you wore here this morning. He's not concerned about what you're going to have for dinner. What God's most of all concerned about is your soul and whether it's securely found in the blood of the Lamb. My friend, Jesus is concerned today. Hey, the righteousness of Thy testimonies is everlasting. He says, "Give me understanding and I shall live." Let me somebody here today that just don't fully grasp what I've been preaching about this morning. Just don't fully grasp about what I'm striving to share with you today. My friend, therefore, you need to call upon God and say, "God, give me understanding. Help me to come to a knowledge of what I need to be." I'll tell you what, I believe that having a good education and having a good head knowledge is wonderful. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of intelligent people that are going to die and go to hell because they've never trusted in the truth. They've never fully believed in the Bible and accepted and embraced the plan of salvation that God has laid forth. My friend, the Bible tells us that sometimes we have to call upon Him to give us understanding. Brother Andy said this morning, he can't understand the sovereignty of God. I can't understand the sovereignty of God. I like what Brother Herb says. I don't want a God that's no bigger than my brain. And I think that's a good thing. There's some things that we can have understanding about, and that is that we're sinners and that our sin separates us from God. And the only way to find fulfillment in life is to trust in Jesus. Be born again. And I'll tell you what, the fact that we're going to have eternal life, that's a blessed thing, amen? But the fact that we can lay our head down tonight and have peace in our heart and comfort in our soul is to know where we need to be with the Lord Jesus. He says, "Give me understanding and I shall live." To give understanding means to cause to understand. To teach me, God, what it means to be a Christian. Teach me, God, what it means to be accepted in Your eyes. Teach me, God. And the Bible says, "Give me understanding and I shall live." To live means to have life. Amen. Hey, we can have eternal life if we trust in Jesus. The Bible says there in verse 142, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness." We can live eternally because of what Jesus has done for us. But we can also have life and life more abundant. Amen. Hey, it means to be sustained in life, to continue in life. For some, it might be to be revived today. Somebody, it might be to be quickened today. You say, "Preacher, I know there's a day and a time years ago that I got saved. I know there's a day and a time in which I trusted in Jesus. I believe wholeheartedly in my heart that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that I'm going to die one day and go to heaven because I trusted in Jesus. But I need to be revived today. I need to be quickened today. I need to just be rejuvenated today that I might live for Jesus from now on, that I might serve Him from now on, realizing and trusting in the truth." Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.